When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Talking Transfers from the 90 Min Podcast Network for the second time this week. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey, 90 Min's top cat, Toby Cudworth, 90 Min writer, editor, and the Spurs man, Sean Walsh, also joins us as well, because Spurs are busy in the transfer market this week. Sean, how are you feeling?
Yeah, it's been a good week. Two signings in 2 days. Who'd have thought of that? It's not like Spurs to get their business done early, but the last couple of years have been a nice trade. Yeah.
It's efficient.
It really makes a nice change. Everyone getting in before first day of pre-season, which I believe is tomorrow. So, class.
Fair play. Fair play. Graham, how are you doing? Are you still as critical of Manchester United's summer transfer business now they finally agreed a deal for their first signing?
Yes, definitely. More so. You know, a month to 6 weeks ago, a new keeper and Mason Mount weren't on United's radar. And now you spent all your money on those two things. And you're not very close to getting the number nine. So, yeah, very critical.
Okay. Interesting. We'll talk about that in a little bit more depth shortly. Toby, how's it going?
Good. Declan Rice finally on the way.
Crying, Toby? Is that the important question?
No, I put out a really long thread on Twitter that probably bored loads of people to tears. But it's 105 million. It's a British record fee. West Ham wouldn't have achieved anything that they've achieved over the past few years without Declan Rice. So I'm okay with it. He's got a young family in London. He's going to Arsenal. I'm all right. You know, we'll move on.
Then the first, Toby, what's that great fact about West Ham and Arsenal?
Declan Rice is the first player to move from West Ham to Arsenal. That's never happened before.
That's staggering, isn't it?
What?
Ever. It's staggering, isn't it? It's great, is that?
Wow. You come to Talking Transfers for transfer news and for outrageous facts.
Transfer facts.
Plenty of players going the other way, normally past their best, like Freddie Ljungberg, for example, and John Hartson was a good one.
But Schumacher and Aladier, highlights TC.
But yeah, Rice is the first to go the other way.
Fair play. Please subscribe to the show on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on Twitter at _ScottSaunders. At Toby _Cudworth, at Graham Bailey, and at Sean DZ Walsh. 90min.com/talking transfers for all the latest from us. 90min_football on all the socials. And 90min.com for everything that we do. Now, let's get into the show. We have talked about Declan Rice already, but I don't know whether Toby or Graham, you want to take this to start with. Put your hand up if you'd like.
Well, I'll just say we're still waiting for the dates to be confirmed. That's all that's missing. Structure, everything's agreed. How are they going to pay it? So the structure's done. It's just they haven't quite agreed on when they're going to get the money, which isn't to do with FFP. I actually spoke to someone about FFP. FFP, this goes down on West Ham's selling sheet. The selling club, it goes on as 105 million on their sheet. Whereas with Arsenal, it goes on in terms of what they're playing and how much. So in terms of whether it's 30-30-30. That goes on their sheet. It's very strange, actually. It was explained to me that it looks very different on the selling sheet to the buying sheet. But in terms of this, it's nothing to do with FFP. It's just obviously West Ham want the money ASAP and Arsenal want to wait a little longer. But it's quite close to being signed off.
Toby, if somebody did not see your Twitter thread, what did it contain? You can drive people to read it, spoiler free if you want, but...
I think just the general gist of what I've seen on Twitter is there's a big debate over whether Declan Rice is a West Ham legend. A lot of people saying
he's not.
Of course
he is.
Yeah, a lot of people saying he's not. A lot of people saying he's a turncoat. They can't believe that he's going to Arsenal over moving up north, that they don't wish him success in the future, all that kind of stuff. And I think my thread was merely to point out 6 years up through the academy, he's been either Hammer of the Year or Young Player of the Year, 5 out of those 6 seasons. He's clearly West Ham's best player and has been. And football's kind of moved on from the days of Billy Bonds, Trevor Brooking, legends of the past, one club men. Football doesn't work like that anymore. And even Mark Noble, you can't put him in the same conversation as Declan Rice because their ceiling, their ability ceiling, on a completely different scale. So essentially, I was just defending Rice to say, look, he's achieved all that he can do at West Ham. He's clearly too good to be with us. And it's fine for him to move on to another club in London. And he should go with well wishes because he's led us to a trophy, our first one in 43 years. And without him, none of that would have happened. And I don't think that's inaccurate to say.
Sean, is Declan Rice a West Ham legend from your outside perspective?
I don't know, man. I think he should really be loyal to the team that lost 20 league games last season. honestly, because I went through that thread with Toby yesterday, and it's just there is a lot of nonsense where it's just like, oh, he should be loyal. Like that. It's like Mark Noble left as well if he was any better, guys. Like, let's not get it twisted. So that's just football. And I think Rice should go well. Which he has done, as Toby said, the absolute maximum he could do. He won a European trophy as the captain of West Ham. What more do you want from him? What more could he possibly do? Stick around and finish 11th, 12th, 13th for five more years. Great.
Well, this is the thing I forget. There's a clamour for one more year. I don't know what West Ham fans are expecting to happen this season, but I'll tell you now, it's not going to be winning the Europa League.
Yeah, this is the best that he can sign off with.
Absolutely. Last year, we came 14th. We lost 20 Premier League games. You know, we came 6th and 7th the two seasons before. They were great seasons for us. That's as good as it's going to get when we're talking about the money that's being spent by everybody else. There's no way West Ham are going to get to that level within Rice's lifetime, that's for sure.
On West Ham, there's an argument to suggest that David Moyes should be doing the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
we spoke about this.
Leaving.
After that, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah, he should be. It's interesting that I talk about this with Toby off pod, but off the field, West Ham are progressing. Tim Steidens due to come in. What that means for the future, Rob Newman. It looks like they are progressing and moving on. It's only in the managerial hot seat where they're not really progressing at the minute.
And I just think it was the perfect time for him to walk away. Me and Scott had this conversation last night. Moyes is in the same boat as Rice. He is not going to do any better. He's come sixth. He's come seventh. We've got to the Europa League semi-finals and now we've won the Conference League. That is the peak of what he will be able to achieve.
And only a year left, TC. And there hasn't really, there's no one clamouring for him to get another contract, is there?
No, absolutely
not. Well,
this
is the thing. West Ham start next season a little bit badly and it goes pear-shaped and that's the lasting memory you have of it. You know, and that could happen. It could happen.
And the problem with that is, isn't it, where as we did a story, TC, they were looking at Galtier. Let's not talk about him. They were looking at Marco Silva and a few others. If you are going to get rid of Moyes, you need to do it this summer because the managers are available. If you do it in October, December, who are you going to get?
Yeah. I'll be shocked if we're not talking in September or October about David Moyes' future again. Maybe even sooner than that. It could be after the first two or three games if it doesn't go well. And you just think, save yourself the aggro. This could have been the perfect time to part ways and move on because the club is going to need to evolve and move on. Both the playing staff needs an overhaul. So does the style of play. We've got a technical director coming in who I don't think is going to align with David Moyes' style. So it was probably the right time to do a clean break. But hey, in September, we'll be on this podcast talking about who West Ham are considering.
Let's switch to Arsenal. Kai Havertz has been confirmed as a midfield option, like Mikel Arteta called him in his an asset to our midfield or something like that is what he said. So he might be playing alongside Declan Rice in the Arsenal midfield next season. Graham, what of Jurrien Timber? Where are we?
Yeah, Jurrien Timber's done. Agreed. €47 million is a total package. As we said, the deal is worth, what, £120,000 a week, we understand roughly. So not a big deal in Premier League terms at all, Scott. You know, it really isn't big. So fantastic piece of business, Timber. I think Timber, you know, out of those three, I'll say now, Timber could end up being the best of the three. Easily the best of the three. And in terms of value for money, he's already way ahead of the other two. So I love Timber. I think he's great. I think he's one that Liverpool United will massively regret not doing. And I love him as a signing. I think he's great.
One more question on Arsenal, Graham. is this it? Or do they want more?
I think they want more. Scott, from what I'm hearing, I think Thomas Partey will go to Saudi Arabia. I think Jorginho, that domino effect we haven't seen in Serie A yet, because we thought Rabiot would then key Milinkovic-Savic, which then might let Jorginho. I wouldn't necessarily rule Jorginho going out. It's just that he's on so much money at Arsenal, and what Lazio can do now, it's a massive discrepancy is what they can do. So I wouldn't necessarily rule Jorginho out. I think Partey will go to Saudi. I wouldn't rule Arsenal out another midfielder. Be it, I think Caicedo will be Chelsea bound, but a Lavia, someone like that, I wouldn't rule Arsenal out getting another top class midfielder in. I'd be shocked if they don't.
And they do have. When's the transfer window close? Is it into September this year? Or is it August? I mean, they have full months anyway to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and Zaka's gone. So if Zaka and Partey go. Yes, Havertz has come in. We know he's going to be midfield forward. He's going to be in that range, but he's going to be replacing Zaka. But before all this, they needed another midfielder anyway. So Rice isn't really coming in to replace anyone. They needed that anyway. So I think with Partey and Zaka going, they're definitely room. And Lokonga, he won't be coming back. So I think they'll do another one. I do.
Cool. Let's move on to Declan Rice's Bezzy. Mason Mount is on his way to Manchester United. We reported on Monday this week that obviously, Chelsea rejected Man United's third bid of £55 million, inclusive of add-ons, which was made last Friday, a week ago. Chelsea countered that with a £58 million plus seven in add-ons offer. United were very much, no, we're not making another offer. But Chelsea were always willing to make a middle ground. We reported that on Monday. Chelsea wanted to hit £60 million, and United came back to the table eventually. I think this is one where both teams, in a sense, I think United maybe overpaying about £10 million for Mason Mount anyway, given his contract status, but you do just generally pay a premium on English players. This is kind of one of those deals, Graham. Do you think where United can say they won and they hit 55 and Chelsea can say they won and the deal will hit 60 with add-ons?
I think Chelsea can say they won. I agree with you. I just think United have overpaid. When you see James Maddison going for 40... is Mason Mount that much better? But it's horses for courses, you know. I think if United think they're improving, the squad, there's no doubt about that. Whether they're improving the starting 11, you could argue. Yeah, it's probably, I don't think they are improving the 11. But, you know, you need that better squad. You said all last season, Scott, the squad wasn't good enough, so they're bringing it in. But the issue, you're not signing him as a squad player. That's the problem. You're signing him to start with with Bruno and Casemiro. Yes.
And then you do have Christian Eriksen as a rotation option, which I just is a pretty good option.
There's other options out there. You know, I just think, I like Mount as a player, I do. I just think there's better fits for Mount and there's better fits for United. I just don't think they're together, they're the best fits. I think when you've got Lavia and Caicedo out there, Scott, I just think they're the best.
Maybe
better.
That's not the way Erik ten Hag sees the way his team playing.
But I agree with you, where you're not going to get, Casemiro isn't going to play every game. We're not through, if nothing else, through suspensions. He's not going to play every game. It's what, you know, yeah, it's having the quality alongside him. But yeah, it's quite an expansive system if he's going to play it, you know, if he's playing that holder.
But there are other clubs doing that as well. You talk about Arsenal wanting to do Declan Rice and then Odegaard and Havertz in a midfield. There's not a lot of substance in that beyond Declan Rice. There's not a lot of substance in Mason Mount, Bruno Fernandes, and Casemiro. You know?
Yeah, but they've got Thomas Partey to come in. He was one of the best defensive midfielders for the first half of last season. You've got Scott McTominay or Fred to come in.
That's going to be... I think they will address that at one point, but Toby, go on. Mm.
The only way that Arsenal midfield is going to work is if Arteta follows the Guardiola model. Someone goes into that anchor role next to Declan Rice. Yeah. That will allow them to play Odegaard and Havertz, and it'll be kind of a 3-2-4-1 in possession. Otherwise, as you say, it's completely overloaded with attacking talent.
And we've already seen Erik ten Hag do that at United with his own fullback. So this is, I think it's just a way that football is. These clubs, like, often they all want to dominate the ball. They want players who are creative and useful on the ball higher up the pitch, and then you kind of use your fullback to plug the gap, you know? That seems to be the way it's going. Do you think
Sean Dallow will do that though, Scott, in terms of the way they play, just good old-fashioned wing-back fullbacks, where Zinchenko and Timber...
Aaron Wan-Bissaka was playing in central midfield a lot last season.
But we know United are open to selling him. So he's not the future.
Well, of course, he's not an ideal fit for that at the moment, but they have to deal with that at some point down the line. The very fact that I saw Aaron Wan-Bissaka can actually play football last season was news to me. I think, honestly, I know Graham's not so hot on it, but he also wasn't so hot on Eric Ten Hag when he took over.
I'm not the ones offering him around this summer, which the United still are.
Sean, what do you think of Mason Mount?
I like him. I think he's a very kind of dependable player. I think if he gets a run of games, if he gets a chance to kind of prove his worth, then he'll be... He's someone who could play 50, 55 games every single season for you. I really like him in that kind of sense that... I think I was on this pod recently. We're talking about the Chelsea midfielders. They're losing all of them and how they're losing that continuity. And I think that that's something that Mount is one of Mount's strengths. He's so consistent. You know exactly what you're getting with him. He can play in all these different roles and all these different positions. I do find it funny that even when Erik ten Hag doesn't have a top target from the Eredivisie, it's someone that he knows of from the Eredivisie. So I do enjoy that. But as you say, like this, if the plan is for him to come in for Eriksen and the midfield is Casemiro, Mount and Fernandes, that's a very direct midfield. It's a hard working midfield, but it's very, very just get the ball up the pitch as quick as possible.
Yeah,
it leaves Casemiro quite bare, Scott. Don't you think? It's like Mount does a lot.
Casemiro has been quite bit. It leaves Casemiro more protected than he was with Christian Eriksen. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess
that's
so.
You get younger Eriksen, basically.
Christian Eriksen.
You think Mason Mount is as good as Christian Eriksen at his peak?
No, he's not as good, but the same kind of.
He's not as good on the ball, but he has a lot more energy to cover and tackle and press.
But he's not. He's just not as talented, though, is he?
But that's not where Eric Ten Hag is after in this instance.
Yeah, I guess so.
A far more rounded footballer, Mason Mount is. Christian Eriksen, technically better, more creative, dead ball specialist. But Mount can defend to a level that Christian Eriksen has never done in his career. And I think that's the thing that Eric Ten Hag asks of all of his players, doesn't he, Scott? That they work hard and they do get back into shape when they've lost the ball. So I think it's a good signing. And
Graham, go on.
Yeah, I don't think they're massively overpaying. If he had 3-4 years left on his Chelsea contract, we'd be talking about a player valued around 80, 90 million, wouldn't we, in terms of talent? So I think it's a good deal.
It is worth saying that Graham's natural state towards Manchester United currently is sceptical. And that has been the case ever since.
I do accept that, and I'm just a bit annoyed at United for not bringing Frankie De Jong to the Premier League, who I desperately
Graham,
want.
Graham, the ownership is still unsolved. Maybe you know.
Maybe I'd love Frankie De Jong to be in England, so I'm probably annoyed, I'm a bit annoyed at United for not.
Would
doing
not even
it.
Shock
yet,
me if
yet
yet. I don't want to talk about Frankie De Jong again. Anyway, let's talk about the goalkeeper because David De Gea is out of contract today as we record this. We have not, as I understand this, Graham, we have not heard a decision on what he's going to do. But this is a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, talks are ongoing with Onana. They're not massively advanced from what I'm told. They are ongoing. They're out in United insist there are other options as well. But United are not confirming, which is the difficult situation. They're not confirming David De Gea is leaving. They haven't confirmed he's left. I've confirmed his signing. This could change,
by the way. By the time you've listened to this, this could have changed. But
it's just a bit of a mess. And I think everything's pointing to him leaving now. You know, I don't think he's particularly happy with the contract signed and then being withdrawn, etc. It's a bit of a mess. It may end up being the situation that he wanted, that De Gea it will leave, Scott. But I think the way that it's happened, it's fascinating because United were determined not for this to happen. They've been in talks with him for over a year to make sure that he left on the right, if he was to leave, it'd be on the right terms. That was the whole point of him. He hadn't really been talking to other clubs. Yes, he's got interest from Saudi, but he hasn't been hawking himself around because he'd been talking to United all along. So it's a strange situation, but I think, it looks more than likely that he leaves now.
I think this is just another example of the disconnect between the people who make decisions at United and what Erik ten Hag actually wants. I know you said, Graham, that this wasn't in the planning for De Gea to leave this season. But to me, looking at United, they have 6 to 8 positions they need to alter and change, and they're kind of interchangeable depending on the situations of the players concerned. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. And I've always maintained this is a natural point for David De Gea to leave. They have messed him around. There's no question about that. But yes, David De Gea has offers from Saudi Arabia. As we record this, we do not know what he's happening, but he's out of contract today. He could take his time. He could make a decision today. We don't know. That is a live situation. Andre Onana as well. There's just nothing concrete, Graham, currently.
No, they are talking. They are talking. Just not. It's not on the brink of being done. It's not. It's not advanced talks. We would say the two clubs are talking. Onana, he's spoken to United as well. His people have spoken to United as well. There are others in the conversation. We know Diogo Costa has been offered again. David Rea, the Brentford keeper, has been offered again. Someone who United have always liked, David Rea, to be fair to him. We talked about him a few months ago. So it wouldn't surprise me if maybe they went for him. But I think Onana's first choice at the moment. We know Ten Hag likes him, but it's not on the brink of being done, Onana. But these things can happen quickly. We know Inter are willing sellers at this point.
Sean, on David Raya, because I'm going to come to you on James Maddison in a second, but you are also the Brentford man who loves David Raya. Is this Brentford price of, I think it's 40 million, isn't it, that they want for him? Is this going to be the case throughout the entire summer?
I reckon. I think there is a chance that it gets to like the last week of the window and they're like, it could be 20 plus 20, 30 plus 10, something like that. But Brentford have always been hard sellers. I thought that was quite intriguing that Spurs tried to go toe-to-toe with them and thought they could do it. It wasn't going to happen. I would say, I think I said this on a recent edition of the pod or on the What Night pod.
The Spurs pod.
The Spurs pod, yes. That I think Raya is probably worth 40 mil to Spurs. I don't think he's worth 40 mil to United because that just brings a whole different set of pressures. And I think the things like his height, for example, that would be scrutinized so much more. You look at every single mistake that De Gea has made gets overblown. And I'm very critical of him, but I think that every single one is just like, it's so out there. It's so obvious. It's similar with Kepa at Chelsea. When you're at those bigger clubs, you can't get away with not saving a goal that maybe you could have got a hand to or something like that. I don't think that that is maybe the one that United should go after. I think that Onana, stick with the proven choice, stick with someone that Ten Hag knows. I think Onana should be the one. If the prices aren't too far apart, I think that it's worth paying a little bit extra to get that assurance.
Tell us about Spurs, Sean. James Maddison is in and announced him really fast, didn't they? Really fast. Yeah.
Well, we reported on Monday, I think we said on the first pod this week, we reported on Monday that Leicester were going to bring down the asking price from 60 mil. In the end, gets done for 40 plus 5. Harry Winks is going to go the other way for 10 mil. It's a really, really good piece of business by Spurs. Someone that they've courted for years and years. David Pleat first recommended him to Daniel Levy when he was at Coventry as a teenager. He looked to be like someone who was going to follow the same path as Dele Alli, that Spurs would pick him up from the Football League and develop him. It never really happened, but he's since gone on to become a really good Premier League player, England international. And I've been... this is very cheap because it's pre-season, not even pre-season. There's nothing's happened on the pitch yet, but I have been completely kind of swayed by the Spurs PR so far this summer. I think Ange Postecoglou talks a really good game. I thought Maddison's first interview, which came out last night, was just ticks all the right boxes. So they're going in the right direction. It's very refreshing to hear just enthusiasm about Tottenham again, rather than just the usual, we need to suffer, we need to work very hard, and like the ultimate goal is the trophy, and that is like the only focus. It's nice to move away from that and just get some more enjoyment out of playing nice football, out of having a likeable team with likeable players. And Maddison talked about Eriksen in his interview. He said, the iconic number 23 shirt. I always admired Eriksen. It was great to swap shirts with him. So it's just nice to have that kind of positive feeling again around the club, I guess.
Talk to us about a potential next arrival. Will it be in the defence?
I hope so. It does seem that is the next area that Spurs are looking to go for. They've got the goalkeeper, they've got the creative midfielder. That's two huge holes filled. We're now on to centre-backs, looking at two Bundesliga defenders, Mickey van der Ven of Wolfsburg and Edmund Tapsaba of Bayer Leverkusen.
Good profiles.
My concern, I'm more high on Tapsaba than van der Ven. From what I've seen of van der Ven, he's a little bit shaky. He's a little bit more raw. Tapsaba looks like that is a kind of senior player waiting to make a big move. If we were to get one, I would definitely prefer it to be him. I think we'd need more than one, though, would be the issue, because we don't know if Spurs are going to make that long leg deal permanent. It seemed like it could go either way. Dyer might leave, might stay. The reports recently seem that he wants to at least try and fight for his place. I wish him the best of luck with that. Davinson Sanchez is probably going to leave finally. Jafet Tanganga, I don't think he has a long-term future at the club. And you're relying on Romero being tuned in, because when he is tuned in, you see he's a player capable of winning the World Cup. He can be one of the best defenders in Europe. When he's not tuned in, it's a complete catastrophe. So Spurs need at least, I think we need two at least.
The only thing, Sean, I would say in Van de Ven's favour, he's left-footed. So left-footed centre-back is becoming more of a thing, isn't it? Spurs have also had an interest in Aymeric Laporte from Manchester City. Again, left-footed. So you do wonder if that's coming into the consideration for a number of teams when they're looking for centre-backs. They are trying to play a different brand of football now, more progressive style of passing, ground-based. So you actually want somebody to be decent with their left peg rather than just lumping it forward, which in yesteryear was kind of what you expected from your centre-backs. But
yeah, for sure. Taps does play on the left, though.
Yeah.
Though I do remember when Ranić went to Man United and Maguire has always played his career on the left, and he was like, hey, let's put him on the right. And it's like, ah, tactical genius.
I think, if anything, it's showing now that the modern-day centre-back needs to be able to play on both sides and needs to be both-footed, because that helps you be identified as a potential transfer target. When teams are looking to fill a left-sided centre-back, that's a bit of a specialism now. So the ability to play with both feet is key.
Yeah, I feel like you could find right-footed centre-backs and right-footed left-side forwards like anywhere. I feel like there's loads of those options everywhere. And like number 10, Duke, who you think could do a job as a number 8, but might not actually be able to do it that well.
Sticking with Spurs briefly, Graham, I'm going to come to you if you're tuned in. Harry Kane, what is the latest? Where do we stand with him?
Fairly simple, really. Daniel Levy, unrelenting, not for sale, doesn't want to let him go. We have seen, obviously, the interest from Bayern Munich confirmed this week. We have seen Kane's camp agitating for the first time this summer, talking to Bayern, keeping in touch with Real, PSG on the continent as well, letting them know. It's a fascinating situation. Clearly, the European clubs, who myself and Sean reported, they were convinced that more that Kane was happy, not happy to stay, but he was expecting to stay. And was accepting of his fate. But now there seems to have been something tangible in the background with his brother and father, who were talking to these teams saying, look, we can get him out. So we can only speculate as to where that appetite has come from, on from their part, as to getting out. From Tottenham's point of view, no, he's not for sale. If it was a fee to be had, Levy isn't even saying there's no fee out there. It's not like the Declan Rice situation where we knew over 100 it was going to start flexing, and from the 120, there's no fee there for Kane. I think Levy pushed would want 150. I think he'd want more than Osimhen this summer. I really do. Sorry, go on, Sean.
No, you finish first.
No, I think he'd want Mbappe type money. I really do think that.
And I think one thing I will say about Levy is, would he? You could say that if Kane goes for free next summer, at least Levy made him see out the 6 years of that contract, which was, even at the time, it was like 6 years. Like, I know there's like the peak of Spurs, like the all hours are pointing up, but it was like 6 years, like Jesus. So if he stays for all 6 years, at least Levy can say that we tried our best. But could Levy get away with being the chairman who sold Spurs' best player ever? I think that might play on his mind a little bit.
Very image conscious, isn't he, Daniel Levy? Mm. I was just going to add as well, we spoke to our German colleagues earlier in the week, and we know German media are very confident that Bayern are going to get Kane, and our colleagues at 90 Min Germany kind of echoed that sentiment. Bayern really think they've got a chance of doing this despite the figures that we're talking about and what Daniel Levy actually will settle for Kane. So interesting disparity, right? Because we're kind of writing it off and saying it's absolutely not going to happen.
Toby, but Bayern were confident about Declan Rice.
They were. So. Seems to be a common theme, actually, now. All of the reports coming out of Germany.
I wouldn't say, to be fair, they've been in for Kane for a long time. I think it was more Tuchel and Rice, but we knew Declan Rice was never leaving London, was he? But it's fascinating. As
we think Harry Kane, like
Harry Kane in London. I think Kane is more. Well, there's something clearly going on there. That's the thing where we didn't think he'd be. We've been talking about Kane and Bayern for a lot longer than most, haven't we? I've always insisted that Bayern wanted him. So I don't know. I've always been the one who thought he might go, but I just don't feel it at the moment. From my gut feeling, Daniel Levy is not for negotiating this month. And I find it strange. You know, United clearly don't have that feeling that that Levy's going to sell, or they would be making moves, and we're not getting any inclination or any messages out from Old Trafford that they are still trying. So, no, as it stands, still not for sale, but we'll soon see.
Let's quick fire run through. Let's start with Graham's favourite player, Pau Torres. What's happening? Going to Aston Villa.
I do like a left-sided centre-half, don't I, guys?
You love Kilman. Pau Torres, Graham.
Levi Colwill, Max Kilman. It's a space in my dream 11 that is pretty full. Yeah, Pau Torres, I think he's great. You know, very fitting that the Spanish Rolls Royce is coming to Birmingham, home of the Rolls Royce, the Midlands. Yeah, the deal is nearly done. They've got him for around 40 million euros. Good deal. He's coming to link up with Unai Emery. In 12 months' time, Pau Torres is going to be getting linked with a return to Spain with Real Madrid and Barcelona. He's that good. There'll be clubs wondering why they didn't do the deal. He is an outstanding player, and he's going to show it at Villa this year. I think he's a great sign. He'll be one of the signings of the summer. I think the money's good. They're not overpaying for him, and I think based around what else Villa are going to do, he's going to kick on with Emery at Villa.
Personal take: if you put Victor Lindelof in that Villarreal team, he would look just as good.
Harry Maguire was in that Villarreal team, was pretty good.
Can we bookmark the date of this podcast? Because I'm getting flashbacks to 12 months ago when G was saying Wesley Fofana and Kalidou Koulibaly could be the best centre-back partnership in Europe.
That was based on Fofana, though. And I still think Fofana will prove to be one of the best centre-backs in Europe.
I see the vision with that, at least. I can't see it with Pau Torres, at least.
I think he's a good player. But Pau Torres on his way to Aston Villa. We have some other bits we'll talk about. Let's do Dominic. Right. Szoboszlai. Correct? Good? Anybody can do it any better?
I'm not having a go at any Liverpool fan or any Scouts, but I'm looking forward to them pronouncing this. Not that I can do it because I can't, but I'm looking forward to it.
I've had him on previous Football Manager saves. Pretty decent. I once sold him for about 150 million after buying him cheap. But Liverpool have made contact. And Graham, I'll come back to you here. Like, Liverpool have made contact, and that is progressing. Correct.
It is. Surprisingly quickly, we did a piece on this 2 days ago. Myself and Sean did a bit. And I got a few messages back saying we'd gone a bit strong on it. We said Liverpool have been in contact, but it is progressing now. Leipzig and the whole Red Bull organization, Liverpool, have got a very good history of dealing with each other. They've got a very good relationship. They've done the deal with Fabio Carvalho going there. They're happy for him to do that. And yeah, Szoboszlai, who has a release clause of £60 million. Obviously, clearly that isn't going to be needed to be paid here. I'm hearing probably around 50 if Liverpool can get this done. But a spectacular player. Really, really good.
What is he exactly?
I think he's a cam. He's a good old fashioned cam. He's a good old fashioned.
You can't drop FIFA speak into the podcast.
You can't drop FIFA speaking when you lost 6-0 to me yesterday.
Well, it's a football manager. You can be a cam in Football Manager, can't you, as well? I like him. I think he's that front in the three man midfield.
So my question to you: you think Casemiro plus Mason Mount plus Bruno Fernandes is a bit lightweight? So what is Liverpool's midfield? Thiago or Szoboszlai plus McAllister plus a DM who've a broken Fabinho?
I think McAllister, Szoboszlai, and another, depends who the one is.
But those two players, they're similar profiles to what Eric Ten Hag is making.
I think it's far superior to Mount and Fernandes, personally. I would have those two over them two all day long. Having seen Bruno Fernandes put in some of the most pitiful performances I've ever
Bruno
seen.
Bruno Fernandes is one of the players at the top of the ranks in Europe for putting up numbers for goals and assists. Like,
He put in some dismal performances last season, and he did quite. He put in some dismal.
This
performances.
Is not
but anyway,
an anti-Man United podcast. But this is the Liverpool.
Let's talk Liverpool. McAllister and Szoboszlai, I think, is an outstanding attacking midfielder. I really do. I think this is the player who Liverpool have been looking for quite a while, since Coutinho left, arguably. And yet, it does. You're right, Scott. Though it does depend on. It's all very well having McAllister in there and Szoboszlai. It's what if you have a three-man midfield. If it is Fabinho, that's not good enough. So we will, you know, do the tip risk on bringing Gravin back in. I do take you up. That point is correct. It's all three coming together have to come together. It's all very well having two good and one bad. It's an interesting, but I think
there's not a lot of defensive bones in that midfield either. Is all I'm saying.
No, exactly. That third one, whoever it is, has to be, and it can't be Fabinho because he was dreadful last season. He really was.
But we
so
all know
it has to be.
Trent's going to be in there as well. We know that now. That's going to be
so. That's your fullback.
I don't think Trent will start. He'll have that pivot role, but he'll start it right back. He'll go into that role, TC. He will drop in there, which gives him. It's like Arsenal, isn't it? It gives him that extra solidity. But I think they do need that other player. So it might be Gravenbach, who if he goes there, massive risk. But if he goes there, you have Trent.
He's not. You have DM, him, is he? Like, anyway, let's move on because
Gav.
Don't
Gravenbach's defensive midfielder?
No.
Not in the sense of a traditional holding midfielder, no.
He's an eight.
No.
So, yeah. So for me, anyway, we'll talk about
but
another
the,
eight.
But the deal is going. At the moment, it looks like they're progressing. Newcastle are out of this one now. They were linked. Looking at him instead of Madison, but Newcastle are out of this now.
Graham, you dictate the time because I know that you have other commitments.
No, it's fine. Come on, let's keep going. I love talking transfers. Come on.
Okay, let's keep going. Talk transfers about Gabri Veiga then.
Interesting, yeah. We have put a story up today. I do apologise when in advance. I did get my super agents mixed up. I've got so many notes that I wrote George Mendes. I wrote George Mendes, and it's obviously Pinnies of Harvey. I know that. It was in my notes. But as the guys have testified to in the office, my notebook is quite messy at times. So I do get confused. But anyway, these Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City and Newcastle are all talking to the agents of Gabri Veiga. Gabri Veiga is available. 40 million euros. We talked about this guy in January, I think, when he first really came on the radar. Outstanding season for a very poor Celta Vigo team. Maybe Rafa Benitez gets a chance to sell someone to his former club. He's a wonderful talent. Barcelona really like him, but I don't think they're going to be pushing on for him this season. So he's one to keep an eye on, guys. Chelsea like him a lot. Liverpool do. I think he's one who, if they came in, he'd be more of a project. Don't see him going in there starting for any of these Premier League teams. Maybe Newcastle, if they got him, he might be that number 10, possibly. But yeah, the interest is there. It's not an awful lot of money in Premier League terms, you know, under £40 million. So yeah, keep an eye on this one. There's a good chance he comes to the Premier League.
Putting you on the spot here, Toby, but can you tell us about Riyad Mahrez?
Riyad Mahrez was not amused at failing to play in the Champions League and FA Cup final. So obviously he's been a key player, hasn't he, for Pep in big games, kind of a Bernardo Silva figure in that role that whenever City have needed to get a result, Mahrez has tended to be in the side. And his numbers we spoke about as a team a couple of weeks ago are outstanding in the years that he's had at Manchester City, both in terms of goal output and assists. But he's coming towards the end of his Manchester City contract. He's got another year remaining. He's got interest from Saudi Arabia. Our understanding is that Al Ahly, one of the four PIF-owned teams, have offered him a deal worth $45 million a year, which is obviously huge money. He's not yet made a decision about what he's going to do, but I think there's every chance that he could move on from Manchester City this summer, which would be a blow to City because we still anticipate something to happen with Bernardo Silva, whether that be Saudi, Paris Saint-Germain or Barcelona.
We've mentioned Saudi Arabia there. As we've been recording, we have had news through on Hakim Ziyech as well, who was on his way to Saudi Arabia, but now apparently that is not the case, Graham.
No, there's mixed reports coming from Al Nassr from failing to sort out the last bit of his contract, so a failed medical. At the moment, it's off. Chelsea are saying to us that this could be resurrected. They could drop the $8 million fee. You know, I think it's one that might come back again. You know, because there's not many other options for him out there, as we've seen. And Chelsea are obviously desperate to get him off the wage bill. I think it's more of a fly in the ointment for anything here. I think Zaitz will be going. Might have to find somewhere else for him. But yeah, it's one here where I think they might come back around the table and get it done.
Personally. Is it fair to say at the moment then that that deal is in the danger zone?
That's a brilliant link. Yeah, it is. It is. That's one in the danger zone.
Toby, let's do irons in the fire to finish the show. Edson Álvarez and Harvey Barnes are, and Graham's doing the iron sign. Edson Álvarez and Harvey Barnes are, that's it. You take it.
Edson Álvarez, one of West Ham's top targets to come in and replace Declan Rice. Been on the shortlist for quite a while, but we thought he was going to Borussia Dortmund. They were closing on a deal worth around £35 million. That's Ajax's valuation, but that has hit a last-minute stumbling block, and it appears now that Dortmund are going to go in the direction of offering Emre Can a new contract, and they're looking at Felix Nemecha as a potential transfer target instead from Wolfsburg. So,
You particularly like him, by the way?
No, I like his brother Lucas.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah,
sorry.
Who scored 50-plus goals for me on Football Manager, but we won't digress. So Alvarez not going there puts him back in the shop window for West Ham, and I think West Ham could move on this one. They're looking at João Paulinho, Calvin Phillips, a number of others, but this particular player would represent probably better value for money for West Ham. And he's a player that David Moyes likes. David Sullivan likes him as well, which is, I think Graham would agree, it's not always the case that those two see eye to eye on talented players, but they do with this one. So we anticipate West Ham might try to make a move on this. And they are making a move for Harvey Barnes. Talks advanced is how that's been described to us, to join from Leicester City. Newcastle, Aston Villa have liked Barnes as well, but West Ham perhaps looking to steal in here and get a player that I think is arguably as good as James Maddison or can be, and certainly needs to leave Leicester after their relegation last season.
If you have Jared Bowen on one wing and Harvey Barnes on the other wing.
Real pace. And I think Harvey Barnes is a great David Moyes kind of player. If West Ham are going to continue playing the style that they do, two wingers who have got the ability to get in behind and score goals is a huge upgrade on side Benrahma, who looks good, brilliant in flashes, but can also drop a 4 out of 10 stinker every now and again. And he doesn't have the same output as Barnes, who got double figure Premier League goals last year and crucially is two-footed, can cut inside or drive to the byline. So really exciting potential signing there.
That was your irons in the fire section. We also crammed in a danger zone reference. Thank you, Sean. And thank you for listening, everyone. That is it, unless anyone has anything to add on today's show. Talk on transfers. We'll try and do it twice a week. This is the second one that we've recorded this week, but we are in the midst of the transfer window and we feel like there's enough to talk about to warrant two shows a week currently. So we'll see you early next week, likely Tuesday, for more talking transfers. And you can follow us all on social media. The Twitter is @_ScottSaunders, @Toby_Cudworth, @GrahamBailey, and @SeanDZWalsh. 90min.com/talkingtransfers for all the latest on the website about the stories that we've talked about today and all the stories we'll talk about and report on over the weekend. And beyond that, 90min.com for all the general latest from the website. 90min_football on all the social channels for 90 Min themselves. From Graham, Sean, Toby and me, Scott, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you soon for Talking Transfers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.